You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? It's week 11, and we can't kick off week 11 without some fantasy football notes, plays, sits, starts, best bets, picks, all kinds of different stuff. And we are relying on the guru, the Orange Arrow, a.k.a. Derek Davis. I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the Orange and Black Insider, part of the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network, bringing you one of our most fun episodes of the week, where we talk a little fantasy football and we get to review how smart or unwise we are in a given week. And I think both Derek and I are running on a little bit of fumes at this point in time. We're fueling up on some of our caffeine and different things like that. But Derek, good to see you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm okay. I got some, where I told you before we took the air, I got some work going on at my house here. So there may be some intermittent drilling or hammering, or I don't know what's going to be going on in the interim, but otherwise I'm doing okay. And yes, I don't want to rub it in. I'm already seeing Chris Hubbard talk about it. Congratulations on the big win. Yep. I did get you last week, and yep. We won't dwell on that, but we do have the league and this week to talk about, as well as some other fantasy football plays and whatnot. But good to see you, my friend. It feels like it has been a long time since the Cincinnati Bengals have played football. Did you make it to that Browns game? Were you at that one?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
Thought you were. Yeah.
That was a hard one. That one hurt. That one hurt. It really did. Almost as much as my fantasy loss last week.
I didn't bring it up. You did. But hey, look, we said this last night on our show, John and I, we talked about it, the Bengals, and we're going to focus in on some of these players, particularly with the Raiders and the Bengals this week and what that means fantasy football wise. But it's really weird, man, because last week, or going into this week rather, and I'm looking at this matchup. You go back over these teams' past two games, right? And granted, the Bengals, you got to go a little further back with the bye. But Bengals travel to New York, play the Jets. In a game that they are favored, they lose. They come back home, host a division rival in which they have a close record with at this point in time. They get pounded at home. The Raiders, yep. 2 weeks ago, they go to New York to play the Giants in New York as favorites. They lose that one. Disappointing. They come back home, host the Chiefs, and get shellacked at home. It was close for a little bit, but get shellacked at home with by the Chiefs in Las Vegas. And both teams now are 5-4 and desperate for a win, and have really, really similar trajectories. The way Derek Carr started the season, the way Joe Burrow started the season. You know, obviously the Raiders have had a lot more to deal with off of the field than the Bengals have. I guess from a Bengals perspective, thankful on that front, but you know, the Raiders have had their hands full with a lot of different things there. But it's just weird, man, how many parallels these two teams have as they get set to clash this week.
Yeah, it really is. And like Anthony said, it's crazy how similar, or not Anthony, sorry, what John said. It's crazy how similar Derek Carr and Joe Burrow have been up to date.
Well, we're going to get to some players specifically to look at and potentially play or sit this week, and some of which are going to center around the Raiders and the Bengals. We've got a couple of other players we want to talk about, kind of give a snapshot of one of the leagues that we are in here, talk about the lines, and you know, a couple of other things before we hop on out of here. And of course, if you have questions for us, namely Derek, the Orange Arrow, leave those in one of the live chats here. We'll try and get to as many of those. If you have a trade scenario, if you have any kinds of different fantasy football questions, what kind of betting? And hey, I'm already seeing Tyon Brown in our Facebook chat saying he is on his way to the airport to go to Vegas now. Maybe you're going to Vegas to place a couple of bets or what have you. If you got some questions on some things this weekend, let's have at it and let's talk about it. So before we get to questions, before we get to some specific players and things of that nature, let's do a quick recap on some of the things we talked about last week and how we did, if you do not mind, good sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week we had we actually had a couple players do all right for us. Mo Alie-Cox, he was tight end 20, and we had mentioned him. I can't remember if he ended up scoring a touchdown or not, but I don't think he fared too well. And then the other guy we had was Hunter Renfrow, which he got you 15, 16, 17 PPR points. You'll take that every day of the week. But for some reason, he still finished as wide receiver 41 on the week, which, I mean, if I'm getting 17 points from wide receiver 41, I'll take that every day of the week. So, and then a couple guys we suggested on the sits was Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett. I know it was everybody was saying Russell Wilson's back. Go ahead and start him up. But that was just – it was a weird game, and it seemed like – they might have started him a week or two too early because he did not look like the same Russell Wilson we are all used to knowing and loving.
Well, obviously coming back from that injury and even all of the phantom huddles and phantom walkthroughs that we've seen Russ do in the interim during his injury, none of that could really prepare him for live game stuff and what to expect there. I expect that Russ will be back to form down the road, just obviously shaking off some rust there. Shaking off some rust there. I'm so tired of making these dumb pun jokes here. Look, there are – so those are some of the hits that we had in terms of some of your advice. Do we have any misses or a couple of misses or misfires there in terms of things we suggested – games, sits, starts, etc. that maybe backfired a little bit?
Yeah. I
don't mean to call you out, but I mean.
No, yeah. Absolutely. If we're going to talk about the good ones, we got to talk about the bad, right? I had suggested starting Matt Ryan, and he just – it was weird last week. Oof. He just really did not look like brutal himself. Yeah. So, that was one of them. And then DeAndre Swift was another one against Pittsburgh. I thought that was going to be a tough play, but, you know, they didn't score a whole lot of points, but he was extremely, extremely involved. And for some reason, you know, Pittsburgh, it seems like they're a team that you can't run against, but for Detroit, that was like the only thing that was working for him. So, He ended up doing pretty well, so I'd have to say that one did pretty well.
Yeah, so the Swift is interesting in that entire game, albeit just borderline unwatchable football, that Lions and Steelers game. The interesting thing there, the Lions at the start of the fourth quarter had 200 rushing yards against Pittsburgh. 200 with a quarter to play. I couldn't – in Pittsburgh. I couldn't believe it. And that game, however ugly that it was, and it was very ugly, Swift, I just felt really bad for him because he truly is on a team with just, I feel like he can be an elite back or at least a very good back in this league. He catches the ball well. He runs well. There is just like no help on that team. And so, you know, he just gets keyed on a lot of different facets. I have him in, I think, a couple of my leagues because I really like him. But, you know, when you see – and I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I like Amon-Ra St. Brown as a guy who's like maybe maxes out at as a number two wide receiver, a good number right. three wide receiver. You know, and so they need a lot of help. Goff looked just rattled. They weren't getting a lot of receiving help. So that team just, you know, unfortunately, they just need a lot more roster talent. But it all benefited the Bengals because the Ravens lost in Miami on a short week after engaging in a long overtime game against the Vikings the prior Sunday. Then you have the Steelers tying the Detroit Lions, and you have the Browns getting shellacked by the Patriots, all adding up to a quality bye week for the Bengals, where I think they were at the number 12 spot or number 10 spot in terms of seeding of the AFC playoff picture. It bumped them up to 8, just right outside looking in. So a good opportunity for them this week as they play the Raiders. We've got
a couple of
questions. We'll take some of those as we go forward here. So let's talk individual players and sit starts this week. If you do not mind, Derek, here's a question from Dylan in our live YouTube chat. Start Cordarrelle if he plays or Renfro. Now, this is, and we're going to talk Hunter Renfro a little bit more here. So this is a nice segue, but let's kind of focus in on Cordarrelle Patterson. Look, this is obviously a Vegas team that has needed to adjust needed to do different things because of the Henry Ruggs situation and the addition of DeSean Jackson. But with this here, kind of focus in, if you would, more on Cordarrelle Patterson for the time being, because we're going to talk a little bit more on Hunter Renfro, and I guess we could follow up with that right after we answer Dylan's question here.
Yeah, so I was just scrolling through consensus ranks for this week, and it looks as if they're ranking him as if he's not going to play, because I'm not seeing him. If he plays, he's a top 20 running back, top maybe even top 12, just because of the you know passing game work that he gets. But yeah, see, I'm all the way down to running back 58 is where they've got him ranked. So they are ranking him as if he is not going to play this week, but the good news is he plays tonight. So if he plays, put him in there. If he doesn't play,
you know, you go.
Switch it over. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He does have two rushing touchdowns this year. I don't know. I'm trying to look up his are they using him as a kick returner again as well? Because he has always excelled at that. I'm trying to look up the again, he's dealing with the ankle injury that is making this a little tricky this week. I'm trying to see, you know, rushing. He also does a little bit in the passing game as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just not seeing. I'll have to look.
Yeah, I can look that up, because I'm actually in a league where you get return yards, which
right.
Don't Some ever do have that. I'll just
yeah.
it is so week to week. You know, you're just trying to. You're trying to figure out, you're trying to understand something that you can't hardly understand. And it is crazy. But yeah, I'm not seeing any sort of return yardage on him.
Yeah. Really though. I mean, if he's always been a guy that can add that dimension though as well. So
yeah.
Whether you get return yards or whether you get, you know, obviously points for, you know, touchdowns, et cetera. I don't know why you would have the Atlanta defense or special teams in particular, but if you have him, you know, if he does pop one in the return game, which he has done in the past for sure, he's been a lethal return guy. That's something mm-hmm. to add in there. But yeah, you got to monitor that ankle injury. They do, as you said, play, I believe this evening, right? That's the Thursday night game.
Yeah. Okay. Falcons, so here we go. The last time he did any sort of returning, week one, he had one kick return. Week two, one. Week three, two, three.
Yeah.
So he's kind of doing kind of what Pac-Man used to do for us.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he's getting one, two, maybe three a game.
Yep. Kind of just say, hey, let's try and see if we can get one big spark, you know, on an off chance here.
Right.
That brings us to the next kind of the next part of the question, one of the guys we were going to bring up anyway, with the Bengals and the Raiders game kind of central focus here, with you know, with a big AFC clash this week. Hunter Renfro, a guy, you know, last night on our show, John Sheeran and myself talked a bit about him and how really he's kind of become one of their biggest weapons behind Darren Waller. He's a guy that can move the sticks. He's really shifty. There was a great video of him. I forget what cornerback it was, but he put someone just on their heels and I think scored a touchdown last week, or one of the recent weeks. I can't really remember which one it was, but at any rate, it was a great move. And it really shows exactly who he has always been from his time in college all the way through the pros, a savvy route runner, twitchy, and just finds ways to get open. A really, really smart and good football player is Hunter Renfro. What do you think this week, especially with Ruggs being out, DeSean Jackson still being new to the system? They do have Darren Waller, and I want to talk about him as well. But Hunter Renfro this week, the Bengals still don't have Trey Waynes. They do have Mike Hilton. He's been up and down in coverage this year, but he still has been a solid addition. You know, you've got others like Trey Flowers and Vernon Hargraves now waiting in the wings. But I don't know. What do you think here in terms of Renfro being played this week?
Yeah, so they have you know, they call him Third and Renfro because he's kind of like Tyler Boyd was when AJ Green, you know, got hurt, or one of our other, you know, when T. Higgins got hurt, he became that alpha guy and is just getting peppered with targets left and right. And he's been reliable for Derek Carr. So right now consensus rank, he is wide receiver 23 on the week. And it just seems like he's going to keep that up. And as much as I hate to say it, that's kind of where I see him finishing.
Okay. So, you know, again, maybe a good player, like you mentioned earlier, for PPR leagues. I think they're going to try and, you know, Derek Carr, he started off really well this year. And I think, you know, losing a coach that is kind of a little bit of a quarterback guru in Gruden and other facets, obviously losing Ruggs, the deep threat. You know, these are the things that are going to affect his play and affect what he does on the field. And so maybe a bit more of a shorter controlled passing game where Renfro is a focal point and a PPR league play. I think that would be a solid play. We just don't really know how the Bengals are going to defend him this week. And I mean, you could use Jesse Bates. You could use Von Bell. Obviously Mike Hilton's going to be in the mix there, but I think it's going to be kind of a by committee type of situation, I would think.
Yeah. And one of the hardest part is going to be, I think they're probably just going to keep everybody. They're not going to, you know, have Cheeto follow Renfro or do anything like that, because they do have DeSean Jackson getting more acclimated into the system, so they're still going to have that deep threat. Yeah, you know, DeSean isn't that kind of guy that can play 80-90% of snaps like he used to be able to, but you know, he's still got that deep threat ability, and it's going to be really hard. And it'll be interesting to see how they choose to defend this team.
So a couple of interesting ones, and this is another player we were going to focus on this week. You see the great one on YouTube asking, just kind of saying that the Raiders are horrible against the run, so a lot of Joe Mixon. And then, of course, you've got Mr. and Mrs. Pyro saying starting defensive tackles will be back for the Raiders this week. They've been banged up there. So, okay, so there's some give and take here. I do think, regardless, this is a big week for Joe Mixon. And, you know, you look at his overall statistics, I think he's been in the end zone 10 times already this year between rushing and passing.
Yeah. You know, passing quietly having a I don't want to say breakout year, but it seems like he's having that year that week or year after year after year, everybody's been saying that he could have. It seems like he's definitely having that this year. And yes, Raiders are actually ranked 24th against the run. Or against running backs, so So yeah, that's really good. And then they're actually rated pretty high against receivers. And then I think they're rated sixth against receivers, and then 31st against tight ends. So yeah, that keeping the short passing game to guys like CJ Uzomah and Joe Mixon will be key in this game for sure.
And obviously, even though I think he was on a stint on IR, and now not even on the team, the loss of Damon Arnett playing a factor into what Las Vegas wants to do. Undoubtedly, Ja'Marr Chase will be keyed on. So a guy like Joe Mixon seems like not only for the Bengals to get a victory, but also from a fantasy football perspective, a guy like Joe Mixon doing different things in the passing game and as a runner, as well as a CJ Uzomah, a Tyler Boyd, some of the guys normally down the pecking order in terms of the passing attack and other areas. This may be a week to look to play them, but I just immediately, I said, you know, just coming out of the bye, you know, there's a lot of talk about Joe Burrow throwing interceptions and among the league leaders in that category. It just seems like you said, the Raiders 24th, 25th against the run in terms of overall team rushing yards allowed. It seems like a big week and a good week to get Joe Mixon going.
Yeah. Let's see. 9 receptions, 101 yards, and a receiving touchdown last week for Darrell Williams. So if we can get somewhere in the ballpark of that, that would be fantastic for Joe.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So one guy that is obviously a big, big threat, and, you know, I hate to just kind of – this is a Bengals-centric podcast, though, so I guess we got to kind of focus in on what's going on with the Bengals a little bit there. Look, one of the guys that is a focal point of the Raiders' offense, I was a little surprised in terms of what I – the lack of stats I kind of saw from Darren Waller in recent weeks. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year. I kind of felt like it just seemed like he was a guy that was going to be a little bit more explosive in terms of what I saw from the stat sheet, but still a threat. I think he was a wide receiver in college. They still split him out wide as a wide receiver at times, is technically a tight end, but a guy that is a threat. The Bengals traditionally have had trouble, even in this season where the defense has played a bit better. There have been some issues with tight ends. It's been a lot better. But this is a guy that is a matchup nightmare. I don't know who the Bengals will use. Last night, John Sheeran talked about maybe a larger corner in Trey Flowers being kind of a guy that you match up with. Maybe it's Bates. It's again, maybe a by committee type of situation. But what do you think about Waller this week? Only two touchdowns this season. But again, no Henry Ruggs, DeSean Jackson integrating himself in the offense. I don't know.
Yeah, he's becoming more of that. If he gets a touchdown, he will save your fantasy week. He's not really become or being that wide, or I almost said wide receiver, because that's kind of what he's been, but that tight end that everybody's used to of the, it's between him, Kittle, and Kelsey on who's going to be the top dog this week. So he's actually tight end 7 right now in PPR leagues. So, last week he had 6 points, and the week before that against the Giants, he had 16, after week one, he had 19 targets in week one. Everybody thought, awesome, we're going to have the same old Waller. But since then, he really hasn't done as much. So it's basically going to be he'll probably be hyper-targeted, because each week I think he's getting multiple receptions or multiple targets. But, last week he had four receptions out of 7 targets. Yeah. Week 9, he had 11 targets. So, he's still getting targeted, but it'll be up to the Bengals to stop him, which they've kind of been middle of the pack this year against tight ends. So, hopefully we can keep that up and kind of keep Darren Waller in the closet.
Yeah, the great one says, I think Von Bell and Jermaine Pratt should be doubling on Waller. I think that's a mismatch for the Bengals, if that's the case, quite honestly. We know that Von Bell is more of an in-the-box guy. He's done some things in pass coverage before, but he has also been exposed in deeper parts of the field. Jermaine Pratt has had an up-and-down year. I think this is a game, and this is a player wherein the Bengals specifically will really be missing Akeem Davis Gaither and that athleticism there. I think that would be a guy that you would use quite often in this type of scenario in the shorter routes there. So interesting matchup situation for the Bengals and with Darren Waller there. So let's the only other thing I guess we could say in terms of players in the Bengals Raiders game, there's Josh Jacobs, obviously a talented back. The Bengals are currently, despite some of their recent struggles, in terms of team rushing yards allowed, they are 6th best in the NFL currently. They are giving up over 4 yards a carry. They have given up 9 touchdowns on the ground, but by my calculations here and what I'm looking at, the Bengals have the 6th best run defense, it looks like, in terms of rushing yards allowed. So, that bodes well for them in this game, not so much for Josh Jacobs fantasy owners perhaps.
Yeah, so Josh Jacobs, oddly, is the kind of running back to where if, he's that plotter. He's that, while they're ahead, just keep running him to kind of burn out the clock. So if the Raiders are winning, it's like week after week after week. If they're winning, he's getting fantasy points. If they're losing, he's not really doing anything. So let's just hope for our sake he doesn't really do anything this week.
Yep, that is correct from a Bengals perspective for sure. One more player I want to focus in on, and then, of course, if you've got a couple of others maybe that you want to talk about and or let people know that you think they would be wise to start or sit them. One guy that's been emerging, I was not impressed with this guy early in the season. There seemed to be, quite honestly, there was a lot of it was kind of like a lesser version of rookie Andy Dalton, really. It's just a lot of dink and dunk. It was very safe. It wasn't very statistically pretty. Now he's begun as a quarterback to assert himself, play well. He played well last week against the Browns, and now he's got the Patriots at, I believe, 6-4 at this point in time, and they are in the thick of the wild card race. They currently, if the playoffs were to start today, they would be having a spot. And of course, I'm talking about Mac Jones, who plays tonight against the Atlanta Falcons. And it is in Atlanta. So there's that to take into account. But the you saw what happened with Atlanta last week. They've been a real mixed bag on a lot of different fronts. What do you make of Mac Jones going forward? Is this a guy who's getting comfortable and is starting to maybe give Ja'Marr Chase a proper run for the money in Rookie of the Year talks, and the stats will start getting there? Or was there just is this just kind of a little bit of an anomaly, and he is putting up some numbers that aren't really sustainable, at least not for his rookie year?
Yeah, so he doesn't really do a whole lot as far as yardage totals go, which is it's kind of odd. But, you know, he's scoring those touchdowns, and as long as he continues, you know, if you think he's going to – I'm trying to do two things at once and it's not working. As long as he is throwing the two touchdowns, you know, he that famous stat line Andy Dalton was famous for, 250 and two. If he can get you 250 yards and a couple touchdowns here and there, then he could definitely perform well for you. So it's just a matter of is he going to keep that up and get those touchdowns for you? But yeah, as far as betting goes, the whole I thought Ja'Marr Chase was almost a shoe-in, and he's just kind of steadily week after week after week just doing the whole I don't know if you call him game manager or maybe you would, but he's doing what he needs to do to win each week. And unfortunately for, you know, he's not doing the Justin Herbert and blowing everybody out of the water and, you know, outdoing Justin Jefferson, but I'm just afraid it is more or less a quarterback driven league. So I don't think that if he keeps continuing to do what he has been doing, I think it'll be him for the Rookie of the Year for sure.
Yeah, and the issue is, you know, he's throwing the ball, you know, 25 to 35 attempts usually, right? I mean, so he's getting the ball and doing something with it a number of times. You've got Najee Harris, who has also been in the talk of Rookie of the Year, who's getting 20-plus touches a game, obviously, as a runner and a pass catcher. And then you've got Ja'Marr Chase, who's getting maybe 10 targets a game. Right, a 12 targets a game. So, and then, you know, you're talking about 7 catches, 8 catches max. And so, you know, when you look at the actual volume, I guess that also plays into that. But I mean, you can't deny what Ja'Marr Chase has done with the opportunities he has been given. And obviously, this chatter has picked up as the Bengals have backslid the last couple of games that they've had, and Chase has been quiet. And then you've got the rise of some of these other teams like a Patriots, and of course, their fan base, of course, their market. That's always going to be a bit louder, perhaps nationally, than the Bengals fan base.
Hey, don't discount Hootay Nation too much, because we've been able to do quite a few things this year.
Oh, I'm not discounting them. I'm talking from a national perspective. Right. A lot of times, the Patriots, the Steelers, they get more love, right or wrong, they get more love than do the Bengals. We're going to transition here a little bit. Actually, before we do, did I forget anyone, or did you want to highlight anyone else that you feel should be sat or played this week, aside from some of those guys we touched on there?
Yeah, one guy I definitely wanted to mention was CJ Uzomah this week. He is currently tight end 17 in consensus ranks, and I think he's wearing the colors that he wore in, or they're wearing the jerseys they wore in the Baltimore game. So he's obviously going to blow up like he did that week, right? No, but from a more analytical perspective, like I said before, the Raiders are ranked 31st against tight ends. So you can definitely attack them there. So I look to see quite a few more targets for CJ this week.
Okay. We talked about that a little bit, wherein the Bengals may, and there was a tweet by Mike Petraglia, who covers the Bengals. I think it was at the beginning of their bye week. Essentially, there was some comment about Brian Callahan talking about efficiency, talking about getting more guys involved and maybe doing a little bit more of the controlled passing, getting guys like Boyd and Uzama a bit more involved to really sustain drives. So I think that that's going to be key, and we could see that as soon as right after the bye. We're going to get to just a snapshot of one of our leagues, the one that Derek spearheads through the Sleeper app. We're going to do some lines in terms of, you know, games and which ones to pick, survival picks, all that kind of stuff. So we will get those going for you. And if you have a question, leave that in one of the live chats we have going here, whether that is on YouTube, whether that is Cincy Jungle's Facebook page, or one of a handful of Twitter accounts. He's Derek Davis, a.k.a. The Orange Arrow. I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, part of the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network. That also includes Orange is the New Black from Ace and Zim. And, of course, Coach Speak and Chalk Talk with Matt Minnick. All of us will be joining forces tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon, for a roundtable. Looking forward to that. Answering a couple of listener questions, as well as just kind of talking and seeing where things, where we're gauging where things are at with the Bengals at this point in time, how important this game is against the Raiders. So should be a good time. And then next week, we will be coming at you next Wednesday night to kick off your Thanksgiving festivities. And we'll be having Tim McGee join us, former Bengals wide receiver joining us and current pregame postgame host on WLW radio. Great guest, one of our favorite guys, and he is set to join us then, so looking forward to that. So keep all of that in your minds, as well as the postgame show on Sunday, sandwiched in between those two shows there. And of course, before we get to the Sleeper League, this show in particular is presented by Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, and the website at symbol.com/OBI. I get, you know, Derek, I get some stuff from our listeners talking about which way the slash is, whether it's backslash, forward slash, I don't know. So I'm kind of just going generic, real generic, and saying just slash OBI for the website address. I don't know if you have a take on that or not, but that's yeah, where I'm sitting with this.
I always say backslash. I don't know if it's right or not, but
it depends. I guess it depends on how you look at it. It depends on what if you're right-handed, left-handed, maybe that has something. I don't know.
Yeah.
At any rate, Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, and the new website, symbol.com/OBI. If you go there, you can sign up. And Symbol, in case you are unaware, is it's like stock market for sports. You can buy shares of teams like they are stocks and have some fun with it, make some money, whether it's a short-term play where you put in some money and then you quickly make some and pull that money out of there, or you are a long-term investor, you really commit to a team or two and let it ride, let it play out, because you see a long-term potential for some money there. You can do it that way. Either way, you got to go to symbol.com/OBI and use the promo code OBI, because when you sign up and submit at least some sort of a deposit up to $500, they give you a 90-day protection guarantee of that deposit up to $500. Meaning if you go in there and you start tinkering around, you're not liking the product, you're not making money, you're losing money, they're going to protect your investment and you can take it out of there at any point during the 90 days. That is how confident they are in their product. That is how confident they are that you will be able to make money in the Symbol platform. So go check it out, symbol.com/OBI. Use the promo code OBI, sign up, and get that 90-day protection of your investment there with Symbol. Good stuff. We're happy to be partnering with them once again. And it's a very appropriate sponsorship given this particular show. So at any rate, let's move on. And I appreciate, I see the great one saying, fellas, I like your style and subscribe. Hey, we love the subscribers. Thank you. Appreciate that. I think I've seen the great one. I've seen you, I think, on the past couple of streams. So it's great to have you joining us, and thanks again for your support there. Now, let's go to the sleeper. I will be kind, Derek, and I will not pull up last week's results. We'll just gloss right over that in case anyone is wondering. Derek and I went head to head, but we won't do that. I'm going to be a gentleman and a classy participant. Oddly
act
enough,
like you've been there, right?
Exactly. Just hand the ball to the ref. That's it. So, hey, you know, this week I was, I looked at this a little bit earlier and I tinkered around at this percentage in terms of possible winner and loser. Boy, and boy, what a barn burner we've got here. The 2-8 team against a 3-7 team. Whoopee.
It's the Dolphins against the Jets.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, God. This was, I think I was in a mid or low 30s percentile in terms of possibility to win. And that has flipped because I made a couple of changes here. And the changes I made, I did put Claypool back in for James Washington. He is questionable. Was he a COVID? I can't remember what he missed, why he missed last week. There was some issue.
No,
there.
Yeah, click on him real quick. I think he actually had an injury that he's been a nagging injury that he's been dealing with.
Toe. Yeah, there you go.
Toe injury. That's right. And they said it actually threatened him to be out for the year, which I think they ultimately decided not to do that yet. So toe injuries are hard, especially for receivers.
Yeah, if it's a turf toe deal, that's not fun. But he did return to practice in a limited fashion, so they're thinking he's going to go this week at least in some form or fashion. He's a guy that just is, you know, he can kind of be feast or famine where he gets in from a fantasy perspective where he can get into the end zone. I did insert for the first time in a while Kenny Golladay back into the lineup. And then I did put in A.J. Dillon, who is projected to have a pretty decent day as well. So those are some of the changes I made. I sat Robbie Anderson after getting a touchdown catch last week. I sat James Washington after getting a touchdown catch last week. And then, of course, the bye with Henderson, I had to have him take a seat. But I sat Anderson in Washington. I guess that's where I kind of want to get your advice there, because I kind of feel like their performances last week and both of them getting a touchdown catch was a little bit flash in the pan. Maybe Arizona not really having film on Cam Newton and what the Panthers were going to do with him last week. And then, of course, Washington stepping into a bigger role because Claypool was out last week.
Yeah. So I agree with you this week. If Claypool doesn't play, I think Washington could actually be a pretty good bet this week. And, well, I hate to say that because you don't even know who the quarterback is going to be yet. Between Ben and Rudolph, so it'll be interesting to see kind of what they do as far as that goes, and then of course they're going up against the Chargers defense, which hasn't really been as good as we thought that they would be, but they're still a pretty tough defense nonetheless. So, and then like you said, just with Cam Newton and Robbie Anderson, you really don't know what Cam's tendencies are going to be. Is he going to be last year's Cam Newton, or is he going to, be Cam Newton from a couple years ago in Carolina? So it'll be interesting to see kind of what he does for that. But yeah, Robbie Anderson has been the guy that he just, it's like week after week, you never know. He's been getting the targets. I can't remember how many targets he has on the year, but he had been getting the targets. He just wasn't coming down with the ball. So it'd be interesting to see if Cam can be an upgrade for him.
Yeah, I do have Gesicki on the bench there, a guy who's pretty talented, but I just can't play him over Kelsey. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So, and then of course we talked about Jacobs earlier. I do have Jacobs there, so he does have a questionable designation. He was limited on Wednesday, so we'll see there. He does have a knee issue, but
we'll Wednesdays are mostly those veteran rest days, and you'll see a lot of guys pop up with that questionable mark on Wednesdays. So we'll kind of have to wait and see Thursday, Friday, Saturday what he does. But
yep. So that's a look into my high quality team there, and a couple of moves that I made to get hopefully on a winning streak for maybe the first time this entire season. So let's cross your fingers there. Appreciate the advice. And real quickly, before we get to the lines and some games and close things up, you created that league. I want to give you some props there, because this is a charity league that benefits the Joe Burrow Hunger Relief Fund. If you want to tell us a little bit about that, I'd like to give you a little bit of a platform to talk about what you did there, because you've raised quite a bit of money and this thing has grown in just its second year.
Yeah, actually, we went from 24 players to 40 players this year. And if you remember last year, kind of what we do is, as we get closer and closer to the playoff push for fantasy football, it's one big league, but we separated it into four individual leagues. And it's a lot of fun, because not only are you competing against guys in your league, but once we get into the playoffs and the championship ends up being the high score of all, I guess it would be eight players, ends up winning the entire league. So, and I've got a bunch of really cool gifts and stuff like that for the winner. We've got a Joe Burrow jersey that we're going to be doing. Oh, wow. And then I think LFG Cincy donated a shirt. We've got a couple other shirts that we're going to donate, and then we've got a trophy for the winner as well. So, yeah, it's just a thing that I do.
I will not be receiving any of those gifts just based on my record, yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, it's something I wanted to do to benefit the Joe Burrow Hunger Relief Fund. We've collected over $1,000 for that charity this year, and just I'm hoping year after year after year just to let it keep growing. Hopefully we'll have thousands of Bengals fans in this league at one point, in which that might be, I might have to start delegating at that point, but it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I appreciate you doing that. And look, I mean, a lot of people who listen to our show know what we did on our show a few months back with the charity fest, with, you know, just kind of tagging on with the Ring of Honor. And it's just, I don't know, I have a big soft spot for helping out charities and doing some of these things, and people that do that. And you know, it's time consuming to do some of these things. So I want to recognize you and, you know, give you kudos for that, because it's a really cool thing. And these impacts do not go unnoticed. There was a story this week, just Anthony Munoz and his foundation gave out, yeah. I think bought pizza and shoes and stuff for like 33, 35 kids at a particular school, helping out kind of the underprivileged, and it's stuff like that. And not that necessarily the money that we generated went directly to that, but when you support a Joe Burrow Hunger Relief Fund, when you support a Munoz Foundation, Ken Riley Foundation, and you see those things, it's kind of these donations in action type of thing, it feels like. So, kudos to you for creating that league and not saying, hey, I want, you know, I'm doing this for money or let's gamble type of thing. It's for charity. And, I think that's really cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's get out of here with some lines, some survival picks, etc. I don't know if you've got your eyes on some this week. The Thursday nighters are always a different one. I believe the Patriots were at home last week against the Browns. It's usually kind of how they do that when a team travels Thursday night. They usually have a home game the Sunday before. They are on the road and are 6.5-point favorites against the Falcons. That is the one to kick off the schedule tonight, at least as of this live recording tonight. And then you've got a really different one, Buffalo and Indianapolis. Buffalo, like so many AFC teams, has been great one week and pretty awful the next. They are a touchdown favorite at home over the Colts. The Ravens, same deal, mixed bag, 5-point favorites over the Bears in Chicago. That could prove to be a tricky one for them. The Browns and the Lions, does that one stick out to you? Lions, 11-point dogs in Cleveland, no pun intended on the dogs. With what Cleveland showed last week. I don't know. What's sticking out to you this week?
Yeah, so betting-wise, a lot of lines that I liked this week was that you mentioned that Detroit – I like Detroit plus 11 against Cleveland. Yes, even though they haven't won a game yet this week or this year, Detroit has stayed relatively close with almost all the teams, Bengals aside – that they've played. So I like that one as far as bets go. And then Atlanta plus 7.5, that one tonight, that one was really speaking to me. I like the home dog thing. You know, they're spotting 7.5 points or 7 points, I think, in a lot of leagues. 6.5, I see you got there. So
yeah, 6.5, but there are some. I think it's Sugarhouse and Unibet have them at 7. So yeah, 6.5 to 7 seems to be the range.
Yeah, and I think Atlanta is not. They're not a terrible team, and they're not really a good team. And New England had that huge game last week, so you know. Vegas thinks that they're going to just bounce back and have another plus touchdown game. And I really don't see it going on the road to Atlanta like that. And then of course we've got our Bengals. Bengals right now, they started as a 1 to 1.5 point favorite. And there's been a lot of money come in on the Vegas side. They're, I think in a lot of places they've came all the way down to a pick 'em. Looks like you're actually getting, you're still getting Bengals minus 1 in a bunch of leagues. Looks like FanDuel.
FanDuel staying away from it.
Yep. FanDuel's got, and if you went on to FanDuel's website, they've probably got it as a pick 'em now as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one I like that. And then the Bengals team total is at 24.5 right now, and I like the over on that one.
Essentially, as we know, kind of how Vegas has traditionally done lines with games, essentially home teams are usually two to three. They're usually spotted 2 to 3 points. So essentially, they're kind of saying that the Bengals are, you know, favorites in general, even on the road in this one. So if they were at home, this would probably be a 4-point line. It would seem a 3-point line, something to that effect, for the Bengals based on this 1-point swing there. But yeah, look, I mean, there's so many things that make me feel like, you know, some of the wheels are wobbly on the Raiders right now based on all the off-field stuff rather that they've had to go through. And there's just only so much that they can take. Some of the feelings for me say, you know, the Bengals have just not been themselves these past 2 weeks, or maybe they have been themselves these past 2 weeks. And so just a really, really interesting game. Two teams, again, that have a lot of parallels with each other. I do like what you said about, I don't like Detroit beating Cleveland. I don't think that right. is necessarily going to happen. Maybe they can build upon what they had last week and that tie against the Steelers. But again, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Chase Claypool in that one. You've got Cleveland, and every time Cleveland and Baker seem to be down in the dumps and then they get this get right game where they host a winless Detroit Lions game, it just seems like that's going to be something that will work in the Browns' favor. But I don't know. I like you said, for the most part, the Lions have been in every game and have been in every game late, with the exception of the Bengals game. I have to go look a little more closely at their schedule. But, I mean, I remember a lot of games this year where they've been pretty close. And so 11 points, 11.5 points in some scenarios here, you know, that sticks out to me. If you are you still alive in your survival pool, or did you win it?
I ended up winning last week.
Oh, nice.
We went from 66, and then these past couple weeks have been hard on people. I know I think you ran into a little trouble with it this week, mm-hmm. or last week. I can't remember what week that was.
Last week with Buffalo.
Yeah, with Buffalo. Yeah, that's right. So, I ended up winning. And this week, I kind of just want to stick with – just go with what you know in Tampa Bay. That one was the one that was really speaking to me this week. You could take the Browns, or if you still have them, if they're still available, pick a team like New England tonight. But I really like Tampa Bay this week.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, 10.5 or 11-point favorites over the Giants, hosting the Giants. Now, Brady has had traditional issues against the Giants, but it is not the same team as he has struggled in those big games with and look, I mean, if you're talking about Tom Brady, you're talking about how Tampa lost a bad one last week against Washington. They're not gonna Tom Brady's not gonna sit around and let that happen, I don't think. In terms
and
of
I know streak and sue. I know not a sponsor or anything, but do you have ESPN Plus by chance?
I believe I do.
They have Tom Brady has a documentary, and I'm going to have I'm probably going to get Disney Plus just for that because I've heard a lot of great things about it. I was never a Tom Brady fan, of course. You know, he has won way too many times, and I resented him for it. But now that he's in Tampa, you know, he's Tampa Tom. He's fun, you know, fun Tom and all that, and I've kind of enjoyed him a little bit more. So I definitely want to look into watching that.
Yeah, I will probably watch that at some point as well. But I there's always a Tom Brady hype thing going on. So it's like, you know, it feels like you can watch a lot of that stuff. But at any rate, that's going to do it for us this week. I know you announced this week that you're kind of taking a little bit of a break from your channel. It is still active. You do still have some videos up. So I do want to promote that if you are, if you're looking to get some fantasy football advice and or at least look back at some of the things that Derek has done, you can go to the Orange Arrow Fantasy Channel. I don't know if you've got an update on that, if that's going to commence a little bit later. I know you've got a lot of different personal scheduling things going on, but I assume that you will be back on that channel at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to take a few weeks off of it. Hopefully be able to restart this back up come the fantasy playoffs. If I was a football player, I'd be a limited participant right now because you know, with family things and stuff like that, just trying to get the schedules all down, going back to night shift has been, I thought it would be an easy transition, but it hasn't been as easy as I thought it would be. So just trying to get the routine back down and be able to do stuff like that. So yeah, I can't wait to get back into it.
Well, I hear you. We're going to still be leaning on you for fantasy football advice on our channel, if you don't mind, but you can still keep it there. You can still subscribe to his channel. He will be back in a little bit, kind of adding more videos, just taking a brief hiatus. But still giving us some great advice. Derek, have a good week. How are you watching this game this week? You just chilling at home watching it?
I will be we're planning on it anyway, going to Butterbee's in Portsmouth. Some friends of ours that are we met actually just being season ticket holders live near Portsmouth. So we'll be going to not Butterbee's but B-Dubs to watch the game over there. So with them. Nice. But real quick, I just wanted to mention, it says, I just got a notification that says, sounds like a long shot for Cordero to play this week. So without Cordero, it'll be really difficult to see if, or to, that seven, Atlanta's plus seven and a half or whatever. I don't like it as much if Cordero does not play. So it may be wait to make that bet.
Yeah, and obviously with the short week that is impacting things, I would assume there. So yeah, thanks for that late update here. Enjoy your week 11. Hopefully you take heed of Derek Davis's advice, aka the Orange Arrow, and you can see him at Bengals home games coming up. Section, what is it, 158? Is that where you guys chill out?
Section 158, yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll be there. And I wanted to real quick, I wanted to give a quick shout out. Today is my brother's 25th birthday, and I know I wanted to give you, your family, a happy birthday as well. I think you said tomorrow and Saturday is their birthdays. So happy birthday, Nate. Love you, little brother.
Yeah, happy birthday, Nate. Is he a Bengals fan?
He is, yes. He's more of a college football guy. He's got an Ohio State basement and everything else. So he's more of a college football fan. But yeah, he definitely likes the Bengals.
Well, tell him happy birthday from me and from us, and hope it's a good one. And I I appreciate it. Yeah, it's my mom and dad's birthday back to back on Friday and Saturday. So, and then it's my youngest son's birthday on the 23rd. So it's bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
a lot of birthdays and happiest of birthdays to your brother. Thank you for your contributions to this show, Derek, and for what you do for Bengals Nation and what you did with your fantasy football league. I'm stoked to be a part of it again, and hopefully you continue that on in the future. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Again, get this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Subscribe through your favorite audio streamer. It's the Cincy Jungle Podcast channel, where the Orange and Black Insider, Orange is the New Black from Ace and Zim, Coach Speak and Chalk Talk from Matt Minnick are all on that channel. We're pumping out content basically every day of the week for you, including weekends. If you want to talk post-game shows and everything, we got all kinds of stuff. Another fun one with Derek today. Appreciate it. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll get you more and more content to come. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Derek.